John chapter 19, verse 1. Hear God's word. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law that according to the law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered the headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at the place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" Chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. This is God's holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, as we come now to the 19th chapter of John's gospel, we're dealing with the events that take place just before the crucifixion. Jesus is still in the hands of the Roman procurator, Pontius Pilate. The trial had ended with Pilate saying over and over again, in fact, he said it seven times, "I find no fault in him at all." What occurs now in chapter 19 is a series of attempts by Pilate to escape the wishes of the Jewish people to hand Jesus over to the death penalty. Pilate knew Jesus was innocent, yet the Jews wanted him crucified. They pressured Pilate over and over again to pronounce the death sentence. And Pilate tried everything he could to get out of that. He tries here in this part of this passage, he sent him over to Herod, hoping that would solve the dilemma. He had interviewed Jesus several times. He even had released Barabbas instead of Jesus, but it all failed. He caused Jesus to be beaten. And by beating him, what was he trying to do? Was he trying to bring a little pity from the mob as he shows a beaten man to them? All we can know is that Pilate was trying to get rid of this problem that he had, and he couldn't do it. Ultimately, he gives in, and he delivers Jesus over to be crucified. This portion of John's gospel describes Pilate sending Jesus to the soldiers, and it begins by saying he was flogged and beaten. He was an innocent man. Remember, Pilate said so seven times. Pilate wanted to release him. Pilate sought to release Jesus, Luke tells us in his gospel. "I will let him go." Pilate sought to release him, John tells us, but the people didn't want Jesus to be let go. They wanted him to be crucified. Even when Pilate's wife, you'll remember from chapter 18, we read that she came and said to her husband Pilate, let him go. He didn't listen. He gave them Barabbas, and they still wanted Jesus to die. Why is Pilate doing all of this? I think the summary statement would be this. Pilate wanted to please the Jews. I will punish him and release him, thinking if he mutilated Jesus, the mob would have pity on him and would allow him to be set free. And so he is beaten, he is flogged, he is stripped down, he is tied to a post or pillar and beaten by torturers with scourges and whips. They would use leather thongs fitted with a spike or pieces of bone or lead in them, beaten with these instruments so that what you would find would be a bloodied body, torn, ripped apart by this beating. And then at the end of the flogging, the soldiers make a crown of thorns. This innocent victim is given a crown and a purple robe. And then he is humiliated in front of all. The one who is God in the flesh, the Savior of sinners, beaten so brutally, he, by the power of these people who took depravity in their hands and would beat him so that it would fulfill what the Old Testament prophet told us in the book of Isaiah, that he would be unrecognizable. This gruesome carnival continued as the soldiers clothed him with that purple robe and gave him a robe probably made from some soldier's garment. But the scepter was given as well, and they beat him, and they beat him, and they flogged him. But Jesus endures all of this so that he might go to the cross and die for sinners. Pilate allows all of this to take place, and yet he does not free an innocent man. He condemns him, and ultimately, the last verse that we read says he delivers him over to be crucified. But before we get to the end of the passage, I want to go back to verses 4 through 8, particularly the verse that says, Pilate says, "Behold the man." I think that's an amazing statement when you see it takes place within the context of all of this horrid beating, flogging. And we can't really go into too many of the details. The details are horrific. He was beaten mercilessly by the soldiers. His ribs and his back would have been opened with the blood pouring forth. He was disfigured, as Isaiah says, so that he would be marred beyond human likeness, the prophet says. Pilate now stands him in front of the people, and what does he say? Behold your king? Does he say, behold the Son of God, who he had claimed to be? That's what the Israelites said, the chief priests. He simply puts him in front of the people, I think, looking for their pity. Behold the man. He's just a man. And you want me to put him to death, to die on the cross? But Pilate's ploy, his plan, would fail. When he said, behold the man, what do the Jews say? The chief priests, crucify him, crucify him. The sight of Christ infuriated them. Their cries for crucifixion became boisterous shouts. They're not just saying, crucify him, crucify him. They were yelling and screaming. And Pilate says, I have found no fault in him. And yet they wanted him to be crucified. And then we come in the text to that place where it says that he was called the Son of God. And as that text informs us of that, Pilate brings Jesus back. And he says, where are you from? Because his conscience is uneasy. The question of where Jesus is from is an important question. Was he really from heaven? That's where the Son of God would have come from. We may well believe that Pilate had a hope that Jesus might tell him something about himself that would enable him to deliver him over from the Jews and to let him go. But there was no word from Jesus. And when Jesus does not reply, then Pilate gets a little bit resentful and he says, "Don't you know who I am?" That's kind of what he says. "I represent the power of what? Caesar Augustus." There was no greater power in that day. He represented the power of the ruler of that land and of the world. He was the one that you should bow to. He was the one who had the authority. He's saying to Jesus, "Don't you know who I am?" Jesus simply, verse 9 says, gave him no answer. Power resided in him. He alone could do as he pleased, and Pilate does not free Jesus. Pilate didn't get the answer he was looking for because Jesus simply did not answer him. Pilate wanted to have an answer that would set him free from the dilemma that he was in, but Jesus didn't give him that answer. Jesus was silent before him. Pilate was haughty and fierce. He had the imperious spirit of Rome. He was authority asserting itself. He was the one who stood before all of the people. He's saying to Jesus, "You're not standing before Annas and Caiaphas, the high priests. They're mere figureheads. I am the governor of Judea, the representative of Caesar Augustus. And you won't speak to me?" His official pride is mortified. And Pilate, in his attempt to free Jesus, is foiled. Jesus could have answered the question and said, "You have no authority at all, except the authority that you've been given by God." Well, in fact, he does say that that's where his authority comes from. But Jesus indicates that authority comes from the Lord. He refers to a greater authority. He refers to the authority of God. He honors his Father, and he rebukes Pilate. Jesus was in complete control of this entire situation. We might see him as the pathetic human who is just about to die, beaten to shreds by the soldiers who would laugh at him, the soldiers who spit upon him, the soldiers who hated him, and the people of Israel who hated him as well. But Jesus was in complete control, willingly, purposefully allowed Pilate to exercise his delegated authority and his power to condemn him, to condemn him to the cross, so that Jesus might go to the cross to die for the salvation of his elect. He does this on the very eve of the Passover when the priests begin to slaughter the Passover sacrifice. The Lamb of God timed his sacrifice to coincide with the death of the Paschal lambs. He is the one who in those moments is in control, and every step along that path that led to his crucifixion demonstrates the sovereign lordship of Jesus Christ over everything that he did so that he might die upon the cross. We might think that this is some pathetic story, this is some terrible story, but I would remind you that as we focus upon the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are looking at the one who is sovereign and Lord of all. Not only does he allow himself to be condemned by Pilate and go to the cross, but he does so because he knows that there will be a day when he will come again, and he will come again in glory, bearing the mantle of divine majesty. And the power of God is his. He will come as the judge of all and the Lord of glory. He is the sovereign King of kings and Lord of lords, which we read in Revelation chapter 19. He is the Lord. Pilate did not get that message. Pilate did not understand who Jesus was. He says, "Behold the man." The scripture tells us, "Behold the Son of God." Let us see in the Word of God the glory of Christ as he comes to die in the place of sinners for you, for me, so that we might be delivered, because he is our judge, he is our sovereign, he is indeed our Lord and our King. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Let us pray.